بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue in part now 17 concerning the topic, the rejectionist Shia and their creed in terms of Tawheed, singling Allah alone in worship. And they're saying that the Hajj, the pilgrimage to their places known as Mashahid, sites where their Imams are buried, is greater than the Hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a matter established and mentioned in their books, from the books of the 12 Imams, in tens of narrations stating that the ziyarah, the visit to these mashahid, to these sites, is better than the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take for example what came in Al-Kafi and others, that the visit to the grave site of Al-Husayn equates 20 hajjah, 20 pilgrimages, and it is better than 20 umrah and hajjah. This is in Furu' al-Kafi, volume 1, 324, and Ibn Babawayh's Thawab al-A'mal, page 52, and At-Tusi's Tahdhib al-Kamal, or Tahdhib al-Ahkam, volume 2, page 16, and Ibn Qulaway, Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 161, and Al-Hurr al-Amili, Wasail al-Shia, volume 10, page 348. Even to the extent that the exaggeration in terms of the excellence of visiting the grave of Al-Husayn and the graves of the rest of the Imams exceed the fifth pillar of Islam, which is the Hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in fact it reaches levels of insanity or heretics or heretic levels. In fact, one of their narrations that whoever visits the grave of Abi Abdullah, then it will be recorded for him 80 hajjah, acceptable hajjas. This is in Thawab al-A'mal, page 52, and in Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 162, in Wasail al-Shia, volume 10, 350. In fact, another narration reports, whoever comes to the grave of al-Husayn knowing his right, then it is as if he had prayed 100, he had made 100 pilgrims with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. 100. This is in Thawab al-A'mal, page 52, and in Wasail al-Shia, volume 10, page 350. And there is competition even in their narrations in terms of the excessiveness of these numbers, which reaches hundreds to sometimes even 1,000, even more by visiting one single grave and standing there by the site. Like for example, it's reported in Wasail al-Shia and others from Muhammad bin Muslim an Abi Ja'far to have said, of course falsely related to him, if people would know what's in the visit of Al-Husayn from the merits, then they will die in eagerness. And when he was asked what's in there, they said, whoever yearns to visit it, it will be written for him 1,000 acceptable hajj and 1,000 umrah, acceptable umrah. And the reward of 1,000 of the reward of 1,000 martyrs from the martyrs of Badr, and the reward of 1,000 fasting Muslim, and the reward of 1,000 acceptable charities, and the reward of, and that anyone who dies in this year, anyone who dies in this year, when he visits, when he makes this visit, then the angels will come, the angels of Ar-Rahman would come to him and attend his washing and then shrouding, and then will make istighfar for him and then take him to the grave, accompanied by istighfar, and then his grave will be open for him as far as the sight can go, and he will be saved from the pressing of the grave and from Munkar and Nakir. The year, if a person dies in the year where when he visits the grave of Al-Husayn, and then the door of paradise will be opened for him, and he will be given his book in his right hand, and he will be given a light on the light on the day of resurrection, the light which will lighten that which is between the east and the west, and then a caller will call, and this is for the one who visited the Hussein in eagerness. And there will be no one on the day of resurrection except that he wished that he was from those who made the visit to Al-Hussein. This is in taken from Kamil al-Ziyarat, volume, or page 143. In Wasail al-Shia, volume 1, 353. In Bihar al-Anwar, volume 101, page 18. And that in one report, anyone who visits Al-Hussein's grave on the day of Ashura and then stands there crying, then on the day of resurrection, Allah will give him the reward of 2,000, 1,000 hajjah. So this will be what? 2 million, right? And 2,000, 1,000 umrah. Please multiply. Who's going to do math here now, please? 2,000, 1,000 hajjah. How much is this? 2 million, right? Yes, 2 million. 2 million. Yes. And 2 million and 2,000, 1,000 umrah. And 2,000, 1,000 expedition of jihad. And the reward of each hajj and umrah and expedition is like the reward of the one who performed hajj and umrah and expedition with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the Imams. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, 101, 290. You know why I'm giving you references? And in Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 176. You know why I'm giving you the references? Today, I just today read by so-called the scholars of Shia in one report that they quote deny that they insult the Sahaba. They deny many things, and they say that these things are not found in their books. And now you know why we are reading from their books, because they lie. They lie to the common Muslims. This narration which we related to you and the reward of it of 2,000, 1,000, they say that this whole merit may also occur for the person who is unable to go and visit the grave on this day of Ashura. However, if he stands on his roof and then points to the grave, then he invokes the one who killed, invokes Allah against the one who killed Al-Hussein, and then weeps and cries, then he will receive the same reward. The one is, gets sometimes hardened to continue with you reading from these narrations, because this is calling for worship of other than Allah. This is abandoning responsibility and making the whole deen center upon the grave of someone to receive all this reward. And you know what? Had this been right, then you think that the Quran would leave it, not mentioned? I'm asking you. The Quran has mentioned the Hajj. Is there anything in the Quran which mentions about the visiting of the grave of the Imams, and that it is better than the visiting to the house of Allah? Do you find this in the Quran? Subhanallah. So this what? This will, the regular Shia will stick to these myths. And he will get submerged into the darkness of shirk day after day. And will cling to the grave of a created person who could not help himself. Also, the visit of Karbala on the day of Arafah is better than the rest of the days. You know, one wonders, you know, about shifting the Ummah away from the house of its Lord and corrupting its deen. Here in Al-Killini's Furu' al-Kafi, Volume 1, 324, Ibn Bawayz, من لا يحضره الفقيه Volume 1, 182 الطوسي's تهذيب 216 Ibn Qulaway's كامل الزيارات Page 169 Ibn Babawayh ثواب الأعمال Page 50 الحر العامل وسائل الشيعة 10359 The report whoever comes to the grave of Al-Hussein knowingly knowing his right in a day other than the Eid day then he will get the reward of 20 Hajjah and 20 Umrah acceptable. And that the one who comes on the day of Eid, then he will receive 100 Hajjah and 100 Umrah in reward. And the one who comes on to him on the day of Arafah, knowing his right, then he will receive 1,000 Hajjah and 1,000 Umrah acceptable and 1,000 expeditions with the Prophet ﷺ or with a just Imam. So why to go to Arafah, right? And in one report, the objective is almost stated. So this is their Ja'far who says, attributed to him falsely, لو أني حدثتكم بفضل زيارتي, if I have to tell you concerning the merit of its visit, meaning the grave of Hussein, and وبفضل قبره, and the merit of his grave, لتركتم الحج رأسا, then you will abandon the Hajj right away, وما حج منكم أحد, and no one will go for Hajj. ويحك و to you أما علمت أن الله didn't you know that Allah اتخذ كربلاء حرما that Allah took كربلاء as a sanctuary آمنا مباركا secure and blessed قبل أن يتخذ مكة حرما before he took مكة as حرم isn't this كفر بحار الأنوار Volume 101, page 33. Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 266. So, from in a hidden way, like abandoning the Hajj, visiting Karbala is by all means more preferred. And he said, إن الله يبدأ بالنظر إلى زوار قبر الحسين بن علي عشية عرفة قبل نظره إلى أهل الموقف. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins looking at the visitors to the grave of Al-Hussein, the son of Ali, the evening of Arafah before he looks at the people in the standing. Standing at Arafah. And when he was asked, the narrator, how is this? He said, the attribute to Abu Abdullah and Abu Abdullah is free from them. لأن في أولئك أولاد زنا وليس في هؤلاء أولاد زنا. Because in the others, there are children of adultery. But in these, there are no children of adultery. And the children of adultery to the Shia, they are the non-Shia from the Muslims. This is stated in Al-Kafi. Attributing it to Abu Ja'far again, falsely. That, Wallahi, inna an-nasa kullahum أولاد بغايا ما خلا شيعتنا. By Allah, all the people are children of zina, adultery, except our Shia. This is in Killini, Al-Rawda, Nalkafi, page 135. Print, Lakhno, 1886. See also Bihar Anwar, volume 24, page 311. Yani people now will wish to go. That's why you see them in thousands. In thousands. Going to the graves of Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein and Ali. Also, they report that anyone who wants to do optional Hajj or Umrah, but a worldly affair prevented him, then he comes to Al-Hussein bin Ali on the day of Arafah. This will be sufficient for him, as if attending a Hajj, and Allah will double the reward many times for him. The narrator said, how many Hajj and how many Umrah that will be equivalent to? He said, innumerable. I said 100. He said, who can enumerate this? I said 1,000. He said more. Then he said, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you count, enumerate the favors of Allah, you will not be able to enumerate them. This is in Al-Wafi, Al-Mujallad al-Thani, volume 2, 8, 223. And one of them is saying, this is not much for the one whom Allah has assigned to be the Imam of the Mu'mineen. And look, إِنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ بِكَثِيرٍ عَلَى مَنْ جَعْلَهُ اللَّهُ إِمَامًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is not much for the one whom Allah has assigned to be the Imam of the believers. وَلَهُ خُلِقَ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِينَ. And for him, the heavens and the earths had been created. وَجَعَلَهُ صِرَاطَهُ وَسَبِيلَهُ. And Allah has made him his sirat, his way. Just examine this exaggeration. And he mentioned that this Al-Hussein is the rope and the medium between Allah and his slaves and the door to Allah. This is in Al-Wafi, same reference. And that with at their graves there is spending of wealth and hopes and leaving towns and lands and carrying this hardship and renewal the covenant. Look at this. So people then will go and sell everything in order to make these trips, or use the money there in order to seek intercession and build up hopes and the rest of the shirk acts. And this is considered still to them from the best of deeds. Now some ask, well, why then their shuyukh don't act in according with these narrations and they don't abandon the Hajj? This could be two different reasons. First, their shuyukh have a task to carry their evil and their propaganda and convey their da'wah so-called to the rest of the Muslim world, and this is a universal conference. Second, they may fear that if common Muslims come to know of these things, then they will lose the ground to convey of their message, since common Muslims see that Hajj is an obligatory act. The visit of the grave of Al-Hussein to them is not better than Hajj alone, but the best of deeds. This is in their narrations. The best of possible deeds, they said, as in Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 146, in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 101, page 49. And in Al-Majlisi's book, he put a title for these narrations. And he put a title headed, Babun, أن زيارته عليه السلام من أفضل الأعمال. Chapter, the visit of him, meaning Al-Hussein, is from the best of deeds. Bihar al-Anwar, volume 101, page 49. So, in this way, the Sharia is forgotten, the commands are forgotten, the whole concentration is upon graves and mashahid, and they consider this to be the best of these without evidence except what has been established from their delusions and what shaitan has inspired to them to legislate in the deen of Allah that which Allah did not legislate. They're saying that the Karbala is better than the Kaaba, the Qibla of the Muslims, and the most sanctified place and the best of places, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the inviolable place. The hearts of the Muslims are, they yearn in that direction where there is no tawaf can be made except around this Kaaba, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a sanctuary and the meeting place for Muslims all over the world. The narrations of the 12 Imamite sect have considered their Karbala and the other places of graves of their imams claim to be haram, muqaddas, inviolable, sanctified, holy. The Kufa is a haram. Qum, this Qum of Khomeini, the Qum of Sistani and others, in their narrations, إِنَّ الْكُوفَ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ, the Kufa is the haram of Allah. And the haram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, haram Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that the salah in it equates 1,000 salah, and the dirham, this is a currency, equates 1,000. This is in Al-Wafi, chapter Fadlul Kufa wa Masajidha, the merit of Kufa and its masajid, Mujallad al-Thani, 8, page 215. And they relate that the Inna lillahi haraman huwa Mecca, to Allah belongs a haram and that is Mecca, wa li rasuli haram wa huwa al-Madina, and for the messenger there is a haram and that's the Medina, wa li amir al-mu'minin haram, and there is a haram for the leader of the believers, meaning Ali, and this is the Kufa, wa lana haram, and to us there is a haram, wa huwa Qum, and it is Qum. This is a sanctified, holy place to the Shia in Iran, and all of the people of this town are Shia Imamites. Check the reference, Mu'jam al-Buldan, volume 4, page 397. And the reason for them sanctifying this place of Qum is because of the presence of the grave of Fatima bint Musa bin Ja'far. Fatima, the daughter of Musa, the daughter of Ja'far, who is their seventh imam. And that there will be a woman buried in there from my children called Fatima, whoever visits her, this is the Fatima of bint Musa bin Ja'far we have mentioned, whoever visits her, then Jannah, paradise, is entitled for the person. This is Bihar al-Anwar, volume 102, page 267. And Ali bin Hussein, they falsely attribute to him to have said, Allah took the land of Karbala as haram, amin, and sanctified and secure sanctuary, blessed, before Allah created the land of the Kaaba, and he took it as Haram Karbala by 24,000 years before the Haram in Kaaba, and had sanctified it and blessed it, and that it stayed before the creation of the blessed land, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Allah created the creation, he made it a blessed and sanctified, and it continues as such until Allah makes it the best of land in paradise and the best house and place of abode for his awliya in paradise. Their sanctification, their sanctification of the land of Karbala, and consider the land of Karbala as haram, is because it, in it there is the body of Al-Husayn. So they said it took its sanctuary and holiness because of the presence of his body in it. So was Al-Husayn buried in it before 24,000 years before the creation of the Kaaba? Or was it prepared for him from time ago? And if such a merit really exists for the presence of the body of Al-Husayn in Karbala, why then Medina, where in it is the body of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, why it doesn't carry the same merit? This is contradiction in the very establishment of this sect, and if it exposes something, it exposes that the purpose is not to sanctify Al-Husayn, but the plot to divide the Ummah. Many narrations from their books are reported giving preference of Karbala over the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 270, and Bihar al-Anwar, volume 101, page 109. And that the visitors of Al-Husayn are blessed in certain ways, that the angels come upon them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they converse, Allah converses with them. And it says in one of their reports, whoever leaves his home intending to visit Al-Husayn, then he will receive a reward for every step, until it is reported, وَإِذَا قَضَى مَنَاسِكَهُ, look at this, and he finishes his rituals, أَتَاهُ مَلَك, an angel comes to him and he says to him, أَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, I am the messenger of Allah, your Lord. He relates salam to you and says to him, continue, for it has been, for you had been forgiven, your past had been forgiven. This is in At-Tusi's Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, volume 2, page 14. Ibn Qulaway, Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 132. Thawab al-A'mal, page 51. Wasail al-Shia, chapter 10, volume 10, page 341-342. So the angels meet the visitors of the grave and relate to them the salam of Allah, and gives them what? A free forgiveness. This is reporting of level of insanity that perhaps no one has reached. And in some reports, and this is the something really, their aggression in these reports, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converses with the person who comes to the visit the Husayn and says, Abdi, my slave, sell me, a'tik, ask me, I will give you, ud'uni, ajibka, invoke me, I will answer you. This is in Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 132, Wasail al-Shia, volume 10, 342. Lies. And they claim that they are the preferred sect. Did they stop here? In some of their reports, they claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high is He above what they attribute to Him, that He makes visits to the graves of the Imams with the Shia. Allah makes visits to the graves of the Imams of the Shia, as in Bihar al-Majlisi, Bihar al-Anwar, volume 100, 258 إن قبر أمير المؤمنين يزوره الله مع الملائكة ويزوره الأنبياء ويزوره المؤمنين. The grave of أمير المؤمنين is visited by Allah with the angels and the prophets visit him and the believers. Mighty is the word which comes from their mouths, for the utter only lies. From the so-called rituals, from the rituals of these visits, they have established rituals for the visits of the graves. Rituals, just like you go to visit the Kaaba and make Hajj. They make tawaf, circulate around these graves. And they pray by the graveside and the tomb. As in Al-Wafi, volume 8, 234. And this is not particular to the grave of Al-Husayn, but the graves of the Imams. And they lean against the grave. This is part of the ritual. And they put their cheeks. If you have seen pictures, there are some pictures which we will show you later at the end of this series, at the end of this season, inshallah. And they kiss the steps and they ask the occupant of the grave. And they take the grave as Qibla, just like the house of Allah. They relay special importance regarding these rituals by the grave sites. And anyone who had seen them doing this knows very well what we are talking about. Muslims have one Kaaba. They direct themselves to it in Salah and in Dua, and they make pilgrimage to it and they circulate it. The Shia, they have Mazarat, places of visits, sites of visits, Kaabat, steps, Adriha, Amwat, dead from the Imams, graves that compete with the house of Allah. Rather, it excels the house of Allah, where shirk is established and tawheed is demolished. Somebody say, well, the shirk and these sites are also present in the lands of Ahl Sunnah. And Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah Ibn Taymiyyah raised this question when he spoke about the excessiveness of the Shia and their Imams and what they have from shirk and innovation. And he said, quote, if it is said, whatever the Rafida have been described with from excessiveness in shirk and bid'ah exists, many of it exists in the lands of those who are attributed to the Sunnah. And he, rahimahullah, answered that and he said, أن هذا كله مما نهى الله ورسوله عنه مما نهى الله عنه ورسوله. This is, all of this is forbidden, was forbidden by Allah and His Messenger. And everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger forbade, then it is blameworthy, forbidden, whether the doer ascribes to the Sunnah or the Shia. However, what is with the Rafida from these matters which oppose the book and the Sunnah far exceeds what's with the Ahl Sunnah. This is in his book, Minhaj Sunnah, Volume 1, 177-178. And another thing is that what with Ahl Sunnah is a deviation that is not condoned by their principles and their foundations. However, what is with the Shia is in agreement with their foundations. Rather, their foundations call for that, as we have heard from their books and their narrations. And as a consequence, therefore, whatever wrong with the Ahlul Sunnah is possibly can be corrected because of this difference. However, with what is with the Shia is almost impossible to change their foundations. First, you need, this is not something theoretical or imagination. In fact, this was even practical practically noticed at the time of the influence of the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab in the Muslim world in opposing the shirk. There was a lot of correction amongst Ahl Sunnah, but very little, if any, with the Shia, meaning a reform. That is because the shirk in the foundations and sources of the Shia had been addressed the dress of truth, and it became the deen. And this is the great danger and great illness. The Rafida exceeded the limits and exaggerated excessiveness, worship of graves, and they did what the Christians had done in terms of their excessiveness in Isa alayhi salam. One thing, little thing to remember, Al-Husayn, may Allah be pleased with him, was he able to ward off the killing of him? Was he able to stop being killed? Then if not, and it is the truth, then how could people ask him things which only Allah can deliver? In fact, in some of their narrations, this is the always the contradictions in their works, there is a report that the Prophet ﷺ used to make recitations upon Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn with this dua, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I seek refuge concerning myself and my deen and my family and my wealth and my children and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my sustenance in the might of Allah and His greatness. To the end of this dua. Is it in Bihar al-Anwar? Volume 94, 264. So he was weaker to be able to defend himself from what they ask him to deliver. When he is unable to defend himself, he was not able to defend himself worthy killing. So if he was during his lifetime unable, then after his death this is impossible. On this point, inshallah ta'ala, we stop here and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make of this work a benefit for the Muslims and to accept it from us and make it count on for us on the day of resurrection. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a guidance for those who are confused. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.